My name is Sophie Bolt. I'm the General Secretary of the Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament. So we're now in a situation where the threat of nuclear weapons being used again in war has never been higher. And the role of the British government in this is absolutely, terrible. Not only are they replacing their nuclear-armed submarines, but they're now also expanding their nuclear capability by buying from the US, from the Trump administration, these nuclear capable fighter jets. So, which means that Britain is basically helping the US to be able to use nuclear weapons preemptively. These fighter jets are designed to launch a whole new generation of US nuclear weapons that are stationed right across Europe and here in Britain. And obviously, with the worsening situation in Ukraine, the threat of nuclear weapons being used is only increasing. Between them, Russia and the US have 90% of the world's nuclear weapons. So, Britain is completely sort of worsening that situation and just making the threat, as I say, of a nuclear confrontation in that catastrophic conflict greater. So our work is totally cut out as you can understand. But because of these kind of growing nuclear threats, particularly in terms of the very, very bad role that the British government is playing, more and more people are wanting to get involved. So we've got new people joining all the time. New people are getting involved and understand how serious things are, particularly young people. Young people totally get how dangerous nuclear weapons are and why they don't keep us safe. So for us, it's about, raising awareness. It's about, increasing our presence at these military bases, especially at RAF Fairford at the moment, given everything that's going on there, but also at RAF Lakenheath, where these US nuclear weapons are based. But also we're having demonstrations across the country at where Britain's nuclear submarines and nuclear weapons are based too. So
Yeah,
it's
but
a
I mean,
very busy
you're the
time.
campaign for nuclear disarmament. You're bound to say, oh, that the nuclear threat is nearer than ever. Part of your job is to get people concerned about nuclear weapons, and you're bound to say that, aren't you? That we're nearer to a nuclear war than ever.
But it's not CND just saying this. The atomic scientists who created the doomsday clock, which every year they look at whether they're going to put the hands closer to midnight, closer to annihilation for the planet, and they moved the hands of the doomsday clock closer to midnight this year, so it's now at 85 seconds, and that's all based on lots of assessment of the political situation. The worsening threat, not just of nuclear weapons actually, but also in terms of the growing threat of climate change. But this year particularly, they changed the hand closer to midnight because of the sort of the breakdown of international arms control treaties, particularly the START treaty, which is an agreement, or was an agreement, between the US and Russia. As I say, the countries that possess 90% of the world's nuclear weapons. So that treaty was there to limit the amount of nuclear weapons and also the type of delivery systems that those countries have. That expired in February this year. So, part of the reasoning for the world becoming more dangerous and the threat of nuclear weapons increasing is because not just our countries, getting modernizing their nuclear weapons, getting more nuclear weapons, but also because the international sort of framework that's supposed to kind of keep a sort of a lid on this is just collapsing. So as I say, it's not just CND saying this, it's lots of other sort of experts.
Well, you will be accused, I suppose. I bet you have been accused of doing Putin's work for him.
What do you mean?
The threats by the Russians, they're being amplified by CND, aren't they?
I don't think that's the case at all. I mean, we're not scaremongers. We're just stating what's going on, and it's clear that when you have a country that has nuclear weapons that is now saying that it's prepared to use its nuclear weapons against long-range missiles, which is what Russia did, I think a couple of years ago now, saying that it would reduce the circumstances under which it used nuclear weapons, people need to understand that. That's not just sort of CND whipping up fears. That's just a reality. But our view is that by sort of accelerating the crisis, by escalating the conflict in Ukraine, for instance, that certainly, I mean, you can tell that that has not brought about peace, that has not stabilized the situation. We know that there are greater levels of casualties now than there were at the start of this war, 4.5 years ago. So that it's just a policy of escalation is not working. And we would argue that escalation is only increasing the likelihood of nuclear weapons being used. So, we want Russia, we want the US, we want all nuclear weapon states to abide by their obligations under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Every country that has nuclear weapons should be taking steps to get rid of them. And as I say, treaties like the START Treaty were also very important in terms of creating this kind of international framework of sort of confidence building measures where, the countries that have the biggest nuclear weapons were sort of abiding by these limits. So that's just the situation that we face now.
Well, that's right. And also, you've got the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty, which was torn up by Donald Trump in his first term. This is about tactical nuclear weapons, which in some ways are the most worrying, because battlefield commanders can be given the permission to use these, on a sort of limited level, which could trigger a much wider nuclear war.
Yeah,
What
exactly.
do you you make? I mean, you're in the middle of this, really, Sophie, at CND. So, what do you make of the way that the London press deals with this threat?
Well, I think most of the time you're seeing a kind of absolute failure to even acknowledge the reality of nuclear weapons and to acknowledge the dangers of them, but also a failure to challenge the direction of the British government in terms of its nuclear policy. I mean, it's just very, very frightening, really, when you look at what the British government is doing. As I say, you talk about sort of tactical nuclear weapons, and this is all about sort of saying, oh, you have these small nuclear weapons that they really won't cause too much damage, and we should be able to use them, and what's the issue type thing. That is being pushed very, very strongly by the defense industry now around these US nuclear weapons that I talked about being stationed at NATO bases in Europe and here in Britain. So the argument is that, if we just drop a couple of those on Russia, then Russia will take us seriously, and they will kind of pull back, and the war in Ukraine will be over. And I think that that is so shockingly reckless and flies in the face of all kind of modelling, that's been done by military experts. They've shown that if such what's called, these tactical nuclear weapons, which to be fair, are actually very, very big nuclear weapons. I mean, these ones that the US have, they're three times the size as the bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima that, killed over 200,000 people. So these are massive nuclear weapons. But they say that if there were such a thing as, like, a kind of the tactical nuclear weapons were used sort of preemptively, that this would very quickly escalate into sort of full-blown nuclear war, in which millions of people would die. So I think, we are very disappointed with the fact that the media is just not sort of challenging any of this, or having a proper sort of open debate about the reality of this kind of really, really reckless nuclear policy. Because really, people completely get it. They know that nuclear weapons are very dangerous, and they don't keep us safe. So, I think we need a media that's properly reflecting the reality of the world that we live in.
Well, yeah, that would be nice. What about power, nuclear power? The Greens are embracing this now. I mean, the Scottish Greens particularly started the process, but nuclear is now talked about as clean, despite the clusters of leukemia, childhood leukemia, and things like that around these nuclear power stations. I wonder what you make of the accusation that the nuclear power industry really is linked to nuclear weapons, because I understand that, I mean, you probably couldn't make a nuclear weapon if you didn't have a power station.
That's absolutely right. And in fact, I mean, the idea that nuclear power is clean is absolutely obscene. Like you say, when you look at the sort of the health risks in terms of the radioactive waste, that there's still no solution, is there, to how we kind of store nuclear waste safely. So and that, we know that that's kind of leaking radioactivity into the atmosphere. So it's incredibly, incredibly dangerous and dirty. But also in terms of the costs, I mean, the costs for sort of developing these nuclear power plants is absolutely astronomical. And of course, the idea that they're going to solve the climate crisis is they take decades to be built, even if they are built. And now there's a whole discussion about the fact that so many nuclear power plants are based on the sort of coastal areas because they need so much water. But of course, with ongoing climate change, we know that sea levels means that it's going to rise. So it's just very, very dangerous. And but all that money that's being poured into this deadly sort of source of energy that should be directed into renewables, which are far more cheaper and much cleaner and are much safer. But also in the point that you make about links with the nuclear weapons industry, I mean, the government has itself acknowledged this link now in the Strategic Defence Review. It talks about the importance of nuclear power in terms of development of nuclear fuel, precisely for nuclear weapons. So that's kind of the government's just admitted that completely now.
What's the state of play then with the nuclear weapons in Britain, and how does Fairford fit into that? I imagine there are some American and some British still.
I mean, in terms of where are nuclear weapons, the nuclear weapons are at RAF Lakenheath. As I say, the US nuclear weapons have been stationed there, we think, since last year, even though the government won't admit it. And then, of course, we have Britain's own nuclear weapons are based at Aldermaston. That's where the bombs are. But also, the nuclear submarines are based in Faslane in Scotland. So and there's, nuclear bombs are being transported right across the country, endangering us all. In terms of what's going on at Fairford, we have to do our investigations and act like detectives in order to find out all this stuff because the government won't tell us anything. They've effectively handed over this base to the US, and so the US acts with impunity. We know that US B-52 nuclear capable bombers have been stationed there, but as far as any other kind of nuclear materials, we're not aware of that. Certainly, what's going on now, of course.
They're basically
Sorry.
not telling us. This is it, the idea that this is now American territory, and they're not saying. I mean, I notice also at Lakenheath, and in Suffolk, the Americans are now trying cases w which involve American servicemen and not being tried in the British courts. That the cases are going for court martials on these US bases, which is pretty amazing, pretty shocking. So it sounds to me as if places like Fairford, Lakenheath, etc., are US territory where British journalists, lawmakers, police, etc., have got no rights at all.
I know, and these cases, it's actually sort of a Guardian investigation, are absolutely horrific. The police are literally referring rape cases to the US military, as you say, and the US personnel are invariably being let off. I think in one case there was some kind of conviction, but it was for sexual assault. It wasn't for rape. So yeah, exactly. And I think part of this is it's creating a kind of culture of impunity where US personnel feel that they can, they'll get away with it. But I mean, it's not just this isn't just the case in Britain. This is and this isn't just now. This has been going on for decades. I mean, there's the most notorious case of a schoolgirl in Japan who was gang raped by US troops in Okinawa, where you've got this sort of very huge military base, and obviously that caused absolute outrage. But the Japanese authorities refused to kind of hand over the sort of the US personnel, and again that was just all kept within the sort of the US military. So I mean, these are just like there are so many examples of why these military bases are a complete absurdity, that they completely undermine our sovereignty. The idea that they keep us safe is completely disgusting. They make us a target. And in the case of the situation now that's going on with the ongoing illegal war on Iran, I mean, Starmer said that he was not going to drag us into this illegal war, and then very quickly, capitulated to the pressure from Donald Trump and agreed to the use of Fairford and Diego Garcia in that illegal war. And over the period of over a month from February to sort of March, we saw twice daily bombing raids of B1, B2 bombers with these huge, like 2,000-pound bombs, were taking off from Fairford. And during that time, the US was committing war crimes. I mean, they were targeting civilian infrastructure, so bridges. There was a horrific case of bombing the school. There was also now we have a situation where they are bombing bridges, but also desalination plants, which are critical in terms of people being able to have fresh, clean, drinking water. So that's kind of going on now, whilst Britain is allowing the US to use its base. And it's now got us into the situation where, and this is, something that Iran had sort of raised in February, when Britain was, deciding whether it was going to give permission for the use of the Fairford. They said that if Britain did go ahead, that they would consider, viewing these bases as legitimate targets. And that's what's happened now. We know that last Tuesday, a B1 bomber took off from Fairford and bombed Iran. And as a result of that, the Iranian foreign ministry said, we now view Britain as an accomplice in this illegal war, and this base is a legitimate target. So that's completely, the government have completely dragged us into this war, whatever they say. And so that's why, CND has been organizing protests at Fairford. We've been working with local communities there, and the wider kind of anti-war movement. And we've got a very important demonstration coming up on Saturday, the 15th of August. We really hope that everybody will join us there. We're going to be having a demonstration in the site of this hu the huge runway, and where the bombers are, to sort of say that Burnham has got to withdraw permission for the use of this base. We need these bombers sent home, and these bases need to be shut down. They are just making the world far more dangerous. They are making us a target, and they need to be shut down now.
Well, look, Charles de Gaulle, the French president, actually kicked out the Americans back in the 1960s, and I wonder, are there any signs that there's some changes in the new Burnham government that may happen in Britain?
Well, if he listened to public opinion, as he should do, the vast majority of the population do not want these bases being used by the US. Not just Fairford, the overwhelming majority of the population do not want US nuclear weapons based in Britain. So the government needs to stop being led by the nose by the Trump administration and do what's right in terms of Britain's security, and that's definitely to kick out these US bases, and to really focus on the very, very serious issues that we need to deal with here in Britain, as well as, across the world, which is we are facing a looming cost of living crisis. We know there's a recession on the way because of the Iran war, but also the our health service is absolutely crumbling. We know that 15,000 people died last year because of the incredible delays around A&E. 15,000 people, that's a huge number, people who are dying now. And these increases in military spending that are going on to fund nuclear weapons and this war drive are coming at even greater levels of cuts to these public services, like the health service. So we have to tackle those things. It's absolutely critical. We've got people dying now, and the government's got to be focusing on saving those lives. Similarly, in relation to the terrible situation we have in terms of the climate crisis, we now have these very, very extreme temperatures. We know that in May and June, nearly 3,000 people died. That's babies, children, older people died because of this extreme heat. And the government should, ages ago, decades ago, should have been preparing, should have been properly taking action to cut its carbon emissions, but also to be preparing, for these increased temperature rises, so that we're not having these horrific deaths. But also, we know that this is where the cuts are coming from. Very, very deep cuts are coming from the department that's supposed to be kind of dealing with this, security, energy security, and net zero. So it's completely got the wrong priorities. It has to shift if we are really going to tackle these very, very serious problems. And we can do it. I mean, if we, if we redirected the 300 billion that's being funded over the next 4 years, if we scrapped our nuclear weapons, we would be able to fundamentally transform not just Britain in terms of, as I say, public services and really properly kind of kickstarting our economy, but we would be playing a really positive role in the world in terms of meeting our climate obligations, also meeting the climate funding obligations that we are completely missing, where we should be helping to sort of support those countries that are, on the front line when it comes to climate, the climate catastrophe.
Yeah, but
We
the
could be
government will
playing.
say, won't they, that look, we're building these massive new nuclear power stations. That is going to actually save the climate.
But it won't, because, as I say, there's no evidence at all that these, well, first of all, there is already a much better energy source out there, which are the renewables, yeah, which are much cheaper, that can get online almost sort of straight away. These power stations, they take at least 10 years to build, if they even get built, and they cost hundreds of billions of pounds. And then you still have this absolutely toxic nuclear waste issue that's never been dealt with. So it's just on all levels, it's just completely dragging us completely the wrong way. And it's absolutely shocking that we have political leaders that are continually kind of pushing this.
Could you just remind us where and when this demonstration is, please?
Yeah, so it's Saturday the 15th of August, so just a couple of weeks, and it's 1 o'clock, and we're going to be meeting, as I say, at the fence, the RAF base at the fence, which is, it's the Chelmsford and Welford Road, and the postcode is GL7 4EE. Yeah, so that's where we're going to be meeting at 1 o'clock, and I hope that everybody can come along. We're going to be having people from all backgrounds. We're going to be having, people, parents for, wanting to kind of protect their children's future. We're going to be having healthcare workers. We're going to be having, a whole range of people, as well as people from the local community, because more and more, local residents are really suffering from this base. I mean, just the sound alone from these horrific bombers is just absolutely terrifying. The sound waves, they kind of vibrate your whole body, and you really feel like you're going to be sort of physically injured by them. So there's all of that. The noise pollution is just horrific, but also the actual pollution from the fuel from these jets is very, very damaging too. And of course, now we have the situation where people are very, very frightened because, you know, of this issuing of a sort of the base as a kind of a target. So lots of people will be there. It's really important that we keep the pressure on the government because there, you know, this crisis of the government is going to continue unless they change direction. So we really need to seize this opportunity to kind of push them to do the right thing.
Okay, Sophie Bolt, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.